The following KOPN podcast is made possible by the generous donations of listeners like you. Please consider a donation to listener-supported community radio, KOPN. You can donate securely on our website at kopn.org.
Welcome to another edition of Thought Crime Radio. Today we're going to talk about vaccines, and we have my co-host Patricia Robinette in Oregon on the line. Patricia, are you there? Hi, okay. And also Dr. Carly from North Carolina, who has a website, drcarly.com. Are you there?
I'm here.
All right. We're ready to go.
Spell that website out for the audience. drcarley.com.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. So before we get into this, maybe we should do some headlines.
Mm-hmm.
Here's something relevant to vaccination. It seems that... there is a propaganda effort to satisfy parents that vaccines are is like mom and apple pie, specifically mercury. People are concerned about mercury, and this is typical of the kind of thing you might see on commercial TV.
Mercury-containing vaccines may have on kids.
A life-saving device wins over-the-counter approval by the FDA.
And sick of your glasses and contact lenses, a new corrective eye surgery is approved today. Here's tonight's medical headlines with Medical Watch reporter Seema Mather.
Mercury-containing vaccines may help not harm kids, according to two new studies in the journal Pediatrics. There have been widespread concerns that mercury-based preservatives in vaccines might impair the neurological development of children. These new studies suggest that the opposite, that the preservatives may actually be associated with improved behavior and mental performance.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
is amazing.
Parents really do have to, we need some kind of special education program for parents to warn them about the dangers of the dangers facing children at the hands of medicine these days. This is unbelievable.
And if I can just say, the perfect example of opposite day. Poisons are good, mm-hmm. but, you know, mm-hmm. you don't really need to take supplements or eat organic food, you know. This is what mm-hmm. the people are being told.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. In a slightly different vein, I would like to go over some things that we have discussed in previous shows before we get into the vaccine issue, if that's okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So in this show, in the past few months, we've been barely tapping into the mother load of evidence that 9/11 was a false flag operation carried out by a network of terrorist traitors in our own government and our so-called allies in order to further their political agenda. Our own version of the Reichstag fire, with many precedents dating back decades, including the Oklahoma City bombing in 1995. For those of you who are still confined to the sandbox constructed for us by the powers that be, time is running out for you to avail yourself of the evidence. The introduction of the Internet opened a window on this government and our country's history, which will soon be closing due to business agreements such as Verizon's intention to prioritize Internet traffic in accordance with a website's ability to pay for the privilege. Soon the Internet will be just another clone of the disastrous mainstream media in this country. The psychological incentives to accept the official story of 9/11 and the essential integrity and benevolence of the federal government are certainly powerful, but unfortunately, willful blindness is likely to become a serious liability to our personal safety at some point. After the next false flag event, perhaps to usher in a war with Iran, pointing out the emperor's new clothes will almost certainly become a criminal offense in this country. But our blindness became a liability to the so-called Third World many years ago. Let me read a passage from page 2 of the New York Times of January 7, 1979, from an article written by Seymour Hersh. The headline is, Ex-Analyst Says CIA Rejected Warning on Shah. A former Iran analyst for the Central Intelligence Agency said yesterday that his reports characterizing the Shah of Iran as thirsty for power and a megalomaniac were repeatedly rejected by the agency as being contrary to official U.S. policy. Jesse Leaf said in an interview that for 5 years he had been the chief CIA analyst on Iran before resigning from the agency in 1973. A spokesman for the CIA confirmed that Mr. Leaf had been an employee there, but said, quote, "We will not discuss former employees," unquote. Mr. Leaf also said in the interview that he and his colleagues knew of the torture of Iranian dissidents by SAVAK, the Iranian secret police, which had been set up during the 1950s with help from the CIA. Furthermore, Mr. Leaf said, a senior CIA official was involved in instructing officials in the SAVAK on torture techniques, although Mr. Leaf said that, to his knowledge, no Americans did any of the actual torturing. The CIA's torture seminars, Mr. Leaf said, quote, were based on German torture techniques from World War II, unquote. The Shah himself was one of our sources of information, Mr. Leaf said. He was a regular contact for a case officer. In other words, the Shah was a CIA contract agent, okay? The head of a foreign company is more appropriate, was actually a CIA agent. Although the Iranian use of torture was widely known inside the agency, Mr. Leaf said, he knew of no Americans who admitted that they witnessed such treatment. Quote, I do remember seeing and being told of people who were there, seeing the rooms and being told of torture, and I know that the torture rooms were toured, and it was all paid for by the USA, unquote. So this is only the tiniest fraction of the ongoing criminality and corruption, which is readily apparent from the smallest investment of time on the Internet. It was one thing to be led around like blind sheep before the Internet became available. It is quite another to refuse to investigate these matters now that you can do so from the comfort of your living room. Time is running out for we the people to rescue our legacy from the judgment of history. We will either be worthy heirs to the founders of this country, or we will be hated and reviled like the Germans after World War II, and our own children will be sitting on the jury. Please note that I'm not talking about revolution here. I'm talking about simply upholding the rule of law, of honoring the Constitution and the centuries of sacrifice and wisdom demonstrated by our ancestors on our behalf, of not being lazy hypocrites, of caring enough about our own children's future that we at least make an effort to raise a few fingers in their defense. There will never be another window of opportunity such as the free Internet. The time is now to decide whether you are truly worthy of American citizenship or not. Carrying around signs saying that war is not the answer just doesn't cut it anymore. The enemy is among us, but they are not hidden. By their fruits you will know them. On this show, we have consciously utilized obstetrical abuse and male infant circumcision as a psychological wedge to try to open people's minds to the magnitude of the crimes being committed against the American people. Perhaps such medical misfeasance is only a manifestation of corruption, but its social and political implications and utility as an instrument of human degradation and social control should be readily apparent. It's as if the mythical Al-Qaeda had somehow taken over the American medical establishment decades ago. But who among us would even know of such things without the free internet? By the way, in the last show I mentioned in passing that infant circumcision constituted an ongoing form of psychological torture of our adult men. And a caller rightly informed me that such inflammatory statements needed some explanation. The short version of that explanation, and we need to flesh this out in the future for sure, is that the desire of a man or woman, of course, for emotional intimacy and physical intimacy and spiritual intimacy with their lovers doesn't disappear with the amputation of the foreskin. All that happens is that a bridge that would facilitate the synergistic merging of emotional and physical ecstasy is severed. And so this constitutes a form of social isolation, not unlike that experienced by prisoners in solitary confinement for, you know, in prisons for months, or of course in this case for their entire lifetimes in solitary confinement. Now, I'm not saying that circumcised men are incapable of emotional intimacy. I'm just saying that the synergy that would otherwise be available is, you know, due from the foreskin is no longer accessible, at least not without some extra effort and knowledge on the part of both the man and his lover. So I hope that helps to clarify that issue.
So the ease with which people bond,
right,
with natural bodies has been deprived for those who have been circumcised, for you and for me both, for circumcised men and women both. So I found a video on YouTube that I've seen before, and I'd like to tell people about it because of the sound clip that you just played of the woman stating that mercury might be good for you. It's called Watch Mercury Kill the Brain. And it's on YouTube, Watch Mercury Kill the Brain. And it shows graphically how it just ruins the nerve endings, the dendrils. And I think that it's a very dramatic illustration. Have you seen that video,
yes,
Dr. Carly?
Is that the study out of the University of Calgary in Canada where they put mercury on snail nerves?
I don't know exactly where it's from. Let's see.
Okay, well, I just want to mention that on my website, if people click on my critique of the federal court decision in the only autism case that was awarded damages, there's a link to that University of Calgary study. And it is important because mercury does kill nerves. However, the disinformation that's out there is that the mercury causes autism and things of that nature. The snail nerves do not have a myelin sheath, and I'll get in more into that, why that's important. But the point is that mercury causes Alzheimer's, along with aspartame, mycoplasma, and aluminum. These things come together to cause Alzheimer's. It has nothing to do with autism. Mercury is a toxic poison. It certainly isn't good for you. But it does not cause autism, so I'll explain more about that as we get along. But yes, all these toxic poisons have to be removed from the body by detoxification, and certainly not allowed into the environment and into our bodies and our silver fillings. And the fact that they're now coming out with this fraudulent research saying that it's good for you, if that doesn't show people that Big Pharma is totally controlling research and, you know, basically corrupting it, I don't know what will.
Yeah, this was two separate papers published in the American Academy of Pediatrics Journal. So this
right.
is
well,
this is,
all I would say is check out who's funding the research, and you'll get the answer.
Yeah, I mean, the wolf is definitely in the hen house here. People need to have their
yes.
eyes open. I was
yeah,
just
we've gone beyond the fox. I agree.
I was just in the grocery store the other day and walking through the baby formula aisle. And they still have these gallon jugs of specially formulated water for use with formula. Of course, babies should not be drinking formula anyway. But these particular bottles of water were, quote-unquote, fortified with fluoride.
Yeah.
I mean, babies don't even have their teeth in yet, you know. And no one is claiming...
That's ridiculous.
I know. No one is claiming...
Oh, my gosh.
At this point that... That fluoride has any beneficial effect on the teeth except via topical application. Systemic ingestion of fluoride does absolutely nothing for your teeth except possibly give you fluorosis. So, you know, they've been hyping this stuff as being good for your teeth while totally ignoring the systemic effect that its chronic ingestion might be having on the rest of your body, which is unbelievable. So children are definitely on their own unless the parents or, you know, the grandparents get involved in protecting them from this insane medical system.
Okay, so Dr. Carley, the video that I mentioned does say University of Calgary. So is that the one that uses SNEEL nerves?
Yes, there's a link to it okay. in that paper that I mentioned, my critique mm-hmm. of the federal court decision. Yes, SNEEL neurons have no myelin sheath. So that's why using it to explain autism is a fraud. But it does cause Alzheimer's. Mercury does kill nerves, no question.
What do you think of that man who in Canada who came has the videos about autism and strokes?
Well, he's another fraud. Andrew Molden is his name. And basically... I actually had him on my show on republicbroadcasting.org a couple of times before his website was up. He claims that, you know, autism or vaccines cause occlusion of small vessels in the brain and other places. And that is one thing that can happen. That's what's happening with serum sickness. Strokes are a possible a cause of many different problems throughout the body, not just in the brain. But it does not cause autism. Autism is demyelination caused by an autoantibody attack. And as a matter of fact, I just watched the Senate hearings on August 3rd, just about a week ago, where they actually were discussing that the newest research that they're finding is that the immune systems of these children are corrupted. They're autoimmune against their own brains, which is what I've been saying for 13 years. So not that his work doesn't have some truth in it. However, he's explaining that as the only mechanism by which vaccines cause damage. That is not true.
So
can you tell me again how vaccines are related to strokes then?
Well, see, basically what happens... there's four different types of hypersensitivity reactions that vaccines cause. Mm-hmm. One of them is an immediate reaction, the immediate anaphylactic shock type reaction that you get when you're allergic to something. Another one is the stroke reaction, which is caused by injecting live viruses into your body. This is a massive assault on the immune system. Mm-hmm. It causes a huge response whereby all kinds of, you know, white blood cells, neutrophils, and other agents of the immune system are released into the bloodstream, and it causes like a sludging phenomena where the microvasculature can actually be occluded, and if those vessels go to what's called an end organ that doesn't have collateral circulation, meaning another, you know, way for blood to get in there, if those vessels are blocked, then that can cause stroke. So that is a mechanism, but it's only one of the mechanisms. The main thing that vaccines do is they corrupt the immune system. This is explained in the document on my website, drcarly.com, entitled Inoculations, the True Weapons of Mass Destruction. What happens is that when you inject viruses into the body, the body cannot push them out. In our upper respiratory and GI tracts, there's something called secretory IgA. This is a critical antibody that's in our bodies, because if you're exposed to viruses and other germs naturally, either by breathing them in or like little children playing in the dirt and sticking their hands in their mouth, whatever, then that's the first thing that those germs are going to encounter, and that's what gets the natural immune ball rolling. And the end result of that is for you to push the viruses out or deal with the bacteria, whatever, and then you develop lifelong natural immunity.
So you're...
when you inject these agents directly into the bloodstream, they cannot be ever pushed out. As a matter of fact, in another document on my website, my response to the CDC's Public Health Protection Guide, I actually have a quote from one of my medical books, which I found after I caught up on my sleep, because in medical school, we're kept sleep-deprived and nutritionally deprived. You're basically a zombie, just, you know, reading things and learning from classes and spitting stuff out on a exam, and then you move on. And by the time you get done, I was a surgeon. But depending on whatever specialty you go into, you never use that information again. You just learn how to write prescriptions or, you know, operate on the body. But in fact, what happens is that, as is published in Harrison's Principles of Internal Medicine, vaccinations do not prevent disease. They give you a chronic infection. The only way I've found to get rid of these inoculated viruses is by something called homeopathy, and that's what I use in my protocol to reverse these vaccine-induced diseases. Otherwise, these viruses stay in your body for life. They form complexes with other parts of your immune system to cause things like serum sickness. They combine with other viruses, either other injected viruses or in GMO food, which is another horror show that's going on in this country, which proves that apparently they're trying to decrease the population. But as these viruses combine and make even more pathogenic, meaning disease-causing organisms, your body is just, you know, in this futile attempt to try to correct the situation, which it cannot do. And what happens is there's two poles of the immune system. There's the B cells, which make antibody, and that system goes into overdrive, and the T cells, which are supposed to go after antibody-coated bacteria, viruses, cancer, etc., that pole gets shut down. So what happens is that you have all of these antibodies floating around in your body, and one of the most important aspects of vaccines, which nobody else that I've ever read talks about, are the tissue cultures used to make the vaccines. They have to grow these viruses in living tissue, and in more and more cases now, they're using aborted fetuses. They're chopping up dead babies, and they're growing viruses on them. Now, how that works in terms of the autoantibody situation is that it's like a transplant rejection phenomena, only on the microscopic level. If you get part of a aborted baby's nervous system injected into you, which there's no way they can separate the viruses from the tissue culture, your body sees that nervous system tissue as foreign. It develops antibodies against the nervous tissue, and those antibodies then attack your nervous tissue, or your joints, or your heart, or your liver, or your whatever the organ is, you name it. All autoimmune disease, non-traumatic seizures, cancer, and genetic damage is from vaccines.
Dr. Carly, I mean, there are some vaccines that are at least believed, widely believed to work, such as rabies and tetanus.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not ruling out the possibility that they might actually train, however clumsily and destructively, train the the immune system to reject certain infectious agents, right?
I am screaming that from the rooftops. The idea, I mean, just think of it this way. If your pet is going to be bitten by, say, a rabid fox or squirrel or whatever, that's a vaccination. So why would that bite not be a stimulus for the immune system better than having a vaccine injected into it? As a matter of fact, if you go to drcarly.com, I actually have the package insert from the rabies vaccine on my website. It's the only package insert for any vaccine I've ever seen that actually states that the tissue culture used to grow the rabies actually causes autoimmune disease, as I just discussed. So you'd be better off being bitten by the rabid whatever than having a vaccine created on any foreign tissue cells injected into you, not to mention the mercury, the aluminum, all the other chemicals and garbage that they're putting in the vaccines. As a matter of fact, I've had a veterinarian by the name of Patricia Jordan on my show many times, and she actually taught me that the reason pets are becoming vicious and attacking their own masters is because they have rabies from their rabies vaccine.
Hmm. Actually, the blood system is never meant to be open to anything unless it is bitten or cut or something like that accidentally.
Exactly.
So it's very, very odd to inject anything foreign into that very pristine blood system.
It's my understanding that if you eat, via, putting your hands in dirt, if you're a child, for instance, playing in the dirt, and you happen to eat a tetanus bug, that will confer some level of immunity to you as well. So,
it's called natural immunity,
exactly,
as I discussed.
Exactly.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, we're talking to the listener out there. What we're talking about is the difference between trusting and allowing the body's natural intelligence, the sentinels that are active in the normal intake orifices. You know, the GI tract, the mouth, the nose, the immunological sentinels that can learn from foreign agents coming into contact with their membranes and train the immune system to get ready for this new type of infection. And the difference between that and injecting something directly in your bloodstream is like night and day. The body really doesn't have a ready way to verify that an injected agent really is something that needs to be something that is not part of the body.
One very important point I would like to stress to the listeners is that parents have been brainwashed to believe that what they call the exanthem diseases of childhood, meaning the diseases that cause a rash, measles, chicken pox, things of that nature, that these diseases are so dangerous, they're killer diseases, and, that's the reason that they try to brainwash the parents into inoculating the children with those same diseases, along with the tissues and all the rest of the garbage that's in the vaccines. I'm 56 years old. When I grew up, I never met a single child that had any problem from any of these diseases. I got all these diseases. I stayed home from school a couple of days, watched the tube and had lots of popsicles or whatever, no problem, and then developed lifelong immunity. So what people have to realize is that these diseases actually train the immune system how to work. It's like, going to a gym and working out. The only way a muscle can develop is by using it. It's the same thing with the immune system. Once you get a disease in a natural exposure and your immune system learns how to respond to that, you have lifelong natural immunity and you have a healthy immune system.
Now, vaccines.
What these insane devils, the MD, medical devils, as the founder of chiropractic B.J. Palmer called them, what they have done is actually find a way to create disease and then give their toxic drugs, which of course cure nothing and give only side effects, perhaps occasionally, you know, taking care to suppress a symptom, which is bad for you to begin with. But parents have to realize these diseases are not to be feared. And actually, back in the day, parents used to have, you know, parties where, like, if one kid in the community got measles, everybody'd bring their children to that house, and they would all get measles, they'd go through it together, and everything would be fine.
Wow.
And that's what we need to get back to.
A celebration of disease, except there's no profit involved. Maybe that's not a good business model.
Well, and not only is there no profit, but you see, the children will never develop all these other diseases right. that they have to go to the pediatricians for. The medical mafia has gone after me. They took away my license in 2003, saying I have a delusion of conspiracy. I've never had a single complaint against me, even when I was a surgeon. And they wanted me to undergo psychiatric treatment. So I told them they can keep their license. I'm a teacher now. And I do the same thing I've done for 13 years, is teaching people how to reverse all these things with natural therapies. But what I realized, and what I tell all my clients and on all the radio shows I do, the pediatricians are one of the most evil members of the medical mafia. All they do is weigh the child, measure the child, give the child vaccines, create the disease, and give the toxic drugs. You can weigh your own child, you can measure your own child. If you don't get the vaccines, they won't get the diseases. So between the pediatricians and the psychiatrists, the two biggest frauds in the medical mafia, it is my goal to cause, you know, the eradication of those corrupt professions.
Remember what happened to Semmelweis, the
yes.
guy who discovered childbirth fever or birth bed fever?
What well, yes, he ended up in a psych institution and died. And
yeah,
it's so funny how
murdered.
Things work out.
He was murdered.
This man was crucified because he tried to get doctors from to wash their hands when going between the morgue and the women that were in childbirth. And here am I trying to get them to stop injecting the children with toxic pathogens. I mean, it's actually gotten much worse.
Yeah, these maternity wards had maternal death rates of up to 30%.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy was sounding the alarm for decades, trying to get doctors to pay attention, you know, to his very scientifically well-documented findings that the whole thing had to do with not washing your hands after you dealt with a corpse. And not only was he ignored, they eventually put him in a nut house, and
oh.
he was murdered there. He was actually killed by a psychiatrist.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, where's that? Oh, I want to read that.
It's on Wikipedia. Oh. Wikipedia. Look up the guy's name, Semmelweis.
Okay.
Semmelweis.
Doctors are still not washing their hands.
Right. Yeah. Even now, there are businesses that have made a business model of installing video cameras in hospitals to, you know, peer over doctors' shoulders and verify that they're actually washing their hands. You know, this is the kind of arrogance and just incredible cluelessness that is on display in American medicine. About getting back to vaccines, there is, in practice, there's really no way to effectively control all of the auxiliary garbage that is used in the manufacture of vaccines. There's no way to filter some of these things out, like SV40, the simian virus 40 that was accidentally included, I believe, in the polio vaccine?
Well, accidentally, I would question, but yes.
Yeah, and this is...
From monkey kidneys, yes.
Right, and this has now been documented to cause non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, right?
And lung cancer and other cancers,
yeah,
yes.
So, and no one talks about this. SV40, it's accepted by the mainstream research establishment that this virus got into batches of polio vaccine and have been responsible for an epidemic of cancer.
Well, as a matter of fact, the scientist who brought that information forward was promptly fired from her job as well, and it was covered up. But it's much worse than that. Back in the time of Nixon, there was a program started called the Special Virus Cancer Program. I have thousands of pages of documents of that program. And in fact, when Nixon declared the war on cancer, as always occurs with these minions without a conscience, it was actually the opposite. They started in Fort Detrick, Maryland. Now they have laboratories in all major medical schools, veterinary schools, zoos, big pharma. they're making viruses to cause cancer. And in fact, on page 177 of progress report number 9 of the Special Virus Cancer Program, published in August of 1972, a study done at New York Medical College actually concluded that breast cancer is one of the most likely forms of human cancer to be caused by viruses. How do they know this? Because they made the virus. Now, this is back in 1972. And, of course, we have now Cleveland Clinic is developing a vaccine for breast cancer. So you see, this is how they operate. They make the virus that causes the cancer, and then they make a vaccine with the virus, pretending it's going to help people be protected from cancer, but in actuality, they're injecting you with the virus that causes the cancer.
Well, there's a book called Dr. Mary's Monkey. Have you seen that, Dr. Carlin?
Yes, I had the author of that book on my show. Very revealing, yes.
Yeah, so I'll tell the audience that they were beginning to make cancer viruses that could be used for fast-acting cancers to be injected into people as early as 1962, 1963, involving the same people who were there when JFK was killed. In fact,
James Earl Ray?
No, the other guy.
The guy that killed Oswald.
Oswald. Ruby. Oswald was involved in that project.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Ruby...
So it's a very interesting book. I would urge everyone to read it, Dr. Mary's Monkey.
Ruby was the guy that killed Oswald, and he was telling reporters that he was being injected with a cancer-causing agent, and he did die of cancer after he was imprisoned.
Yes.
A lot of people die of fast-acting cancers.
You see, this is one of the problems that those of us, all of us on the phone now, and others that are trying to wake people up to the total corruption, fraud, and pure evil that this government is behind. One of our biggest problems is that people with a conscience cannot even conceive of anything this evil. And that is, in my opinion, the biggest problem that we have is that they have to check things out for themselves, just like you said, Rich. I always tell people, don't believe anything I say. Check it out for yourself. The information's out there. You have to have, you know, the motivation to protect yourself and your family to do the research, and you will find it, because there are many people that do have a conscience that are putting it all together for you. And, for example, in my own case, I've had a $10,000 reward on my website for over 4 years for any vaccine promoter to come on my internet radio show on republicbroadcasting.org on Saturdays called What's Ailing America. Unfortunately, I'll never run out of answers to that question, but I'm trying to get anybody to come on and debate me on the issues that I talk about in my documents. Prove me wrong. Please prove me wrong, because I don't want to believe what I have written. Unfortunately, I don't believe it. I know it because I've done the work. And people need to wake up to realize we're talking genocide here. As a matter of fact, on the very top of my website, I have the definition of weapons of mass destruction according to West North Carolina general statutes. And in the definition of weapons of mass destruction, and I found this years after I wrote my paper, Inoculations of True Weapons of Mass Destruction, so this was an amazing moment. They actually define weapons of mass destruction as any method that has the capability to cause death or serious injury through the release of a diseased organism. We're talking vaccines here, you see? So it's really amazing how they're trying to scare people that the terrorists, which of course are CIA operatives like Osama bin Laden, who died years ago due to renal failure, but they're trying to scare us to make us think, oh, these people are the ones, they're putting together their little potions in the caves over in Afghanistan. No, this is being done in laboratories and medical schools, etc., here in the States, and it's being delivered to the people as a population reduction technique, as well as a disease creation technique, because, like I said, if disease goes away, Big Pharma goes out of business.
Getting to the eugenics issue, I just want to point out to the listener. First of all, let me identify who we have on the line here. Dr. Carley is a medical doctor. Well, I guess her license was revoked in 2003.
I'm still a medical doctor.
Okay. I'm sorry. What was your first name?
Rebecca. And let
Carley.
Me also say, I'm actually the only court-qualified expert in vaccine-induced diseases in the world, as far as I know. And I've losing my license has not stopped me from testifying in court cases involving vaccine, you know, injury.
And her website is drcarley.com, drcarley.com. And I must say, I've done some research into this issue, and until I talked to Dr. Carley, I was convinced that the mercury autism connection, being it had been discovered by other researchers that mitochondrial mutation was correlated with autism in children. And now I'm seeing things in a different light, and I think Dr. Carley's onto something here.
If I could just say that mitochondrial mutations are involved with autism.
Right, but they're consequences.
And the mitochondrial mutations are caused by the vaccines as well.
Right, exactly.
So it's the whole thing.
Yes.
And a very important article that I don't think I mentioned to you, but I want to mention to the listeners, they can check it out online. Journal of Child Neurology, published in March of 2010. The website is jcn.sage.pub.com. And this is the title of the article: A 16-year-old girl with bilateral vision loss and left hemiparesis following an immunization against HPV virus. Long title, but the long and short of it is that, and I was shocked to see this in a medical journal as well. We'll see how long it is before these doctors lose their license. But basically, what these doctors at the University of Connecticut School of Medicine discovered is that the 16-year-old girl that got the Gardasil vaccine, within 16 days, she was blind and paralyzed. And in this article, they talk about how they discovered that she was suffering from demyelination. In other words, her nervous system was being attacked by antibodies against the nervous system. And this is the first time in all my 13 years of doing this work I've ever seen any medical article, you know, published that actually speaks the truth. Of course, none of my work will ever be published in medical journals because it will put Big Pharma out of business. But people can access that article and check it out for yourself.
Dr. Carley, if you could send that link to me, we can put it up on the blog, too.
So okay, sure.
Getting back to the eugenics issue, I know that people think that eugenics went out of fashion with the end of World War II, but in fact, the Nazis did not lose World War II; they only went into hiding. Fascism, eugenics, these did not originate in Germany or Italy. They originated in New York and London, and you know, it's clear that the American media is heavily influenced by Nazi interests, and you can verify that for yourself by just reflecting on the fact that we've had two presidents, both Bushes, who ran presidential campaigns, four different presidential campaigns, in which no mainstream American media outlet mentioned that these people are descended from a Nazi war criminal. Who should have been tried for treason, who actually was involved in an attempt to overthrow the U.S. government in a military coup. So, you know, fascism is alive and well and just sort of hiding in the shadows, but you can see the effects that these people are having on public policy, especially when you think about, you know, CIA agents teaching Nazi torture techniques to the Iranian secret police. This is your tax dollars with work people, and you know, sticking your head in the sand is not going to make it go away. And it's ludicrous to think that these subhuman species are going to be satisfied with taking over third world countries forever. Obviously, they have their sights on this country, and they're making significant progress in attaining their goals.
Yeah, and it's not just in Iran, of course, these torture techniques we're using in Gitmo as well.
And in Uruguay and Brazil and Argentina and Chile and, you know, how many other countries? You know, this is standard practice. They, you know, torture did not start with 9/11. It's been going on for decades, just as drug running, CIA drug running has been going on for decades. It's just all about business, you know. It's nothing personal, you understand. They just want more power, that's all.
I just found that article at another website. It's called ageofautism.com, and it looks like it's on their front page. Well, maybe not. It's Journal of Child Neurology Report, 16-year-old.
Yes, excellent. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ageofautism.com.
Okay.
Also on the phone with us, we have Patricia Robinette from Oregon, who is a hypnotherapist, trauma hypnotherapist, helping people to recover from early childhood trauma and wake up to the beauty around them. And thank you for that, Patricia.
Thank you for having me here, Rich.
I need to do a PSA, and if I can figure out what makes it go here.
Check it out, it's the Terminator. Hey, when'd you get back, huh?
Did you have to shoot anyone?
Why are you so distant? Are you not happy to see me?
So what's the deal? You gonna get a job now or what?
Why are you being so jumpy? Put all that stuff behind you, okay?
No one knows what it's like to come back from Iraq or Afghanistan unless they were there. Join other veterans at communityofveterans.org because we know where you're coming from. Brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
They are certainly among the biggest losers in this game of power that these Nazis are playing with us, the veterans.
Yeah, if I could just mention that the soldiers are the ones that they experiment with on vaccines first.
Yes.
Gulf War syndrome was a combination of assault, oil fumes, depleted uranium, pyridostigmine, aspartame, many different things. But they intentionally put mycoplasma and squalene into the soldiers' vaccines, and that's why more soldiers are dying from vaccines than are even dying from gunfire. But you don't hear about that in the media either.
Now, what is the function of this mycoplasma?
Mycoplasma is another organism that they've tweaked. It's between a bacteria and a virus. It has no cell wall, so it's easily able to, you know, squirm right into the cells in any part of your body. And these mad scientists created something called Mycoplasma incognitus. Incognito means, you know, it's hidden, and put this into the vaccines. And so there's no way to get rid of this organism from the body. And so they develop severe cases of autoimmunity, especially when squalene is also put into the vaccine as what's called an adjuvant. An adjuvant is something that makes the immune system, the B cell part that makes antibodies, go into hyperdrive. And they usually use aluminum for that, but in the soldiers' vaccines, they use squalene, and this is extremely dangerous because squalene is a precursor to cholesterol. It's in all of our cells. So once again, you're developing an autoimmune attack to something that your cells are made of. And so this causes a massive autoimmunity, and that's why so many soldiers are getting MS especially, but renal failure, you know, you name it. I have many clients that are veterans.
Well,
and my protocol can reverse these conditions, but the soldiers have gotten the worst of the worst. So it's very difficult.
How does the squalene differ from the actual body chemical that would normally not trigger an autoimmune reaction?
Well, in order to patent any drug, they have to change it from what's in nature.
Oh, my God.
And so usually what they do is they'll attach something called a chemical moiety, and all that means is it's like another carbon group or whatever that's on the molecule that's not there in nature, and that's what makes the body see it as foreign.
Oh, my God. So this is all about money. I mean, they don't even have to do this. This is unbelievable.
Well, not only that, but think about it. Saddam didn't have any weapons of mass destruction. So why are they forcing these soldiers to take, you know, swine flu, which that pandemic never happened because too many people listened to people like myself and said, not only did they create this virus, but, you know, the vaccine's going to cause the problem. Why are they making the soldiers take that? Why are they making the soldiers take anthrax and smallpox vaccines? As I said, Saddam didn't have any weapons of mass destruction. So that's what people have to start asking themselves. And what's amazing to me is that these soldiers who, if they believe that, you know, these wars were, you know, actually, you know, a good thing, if they've investigated 9/11, they may find something else out. But if they went into the war thinking they were actually serving their country, and then they're told when they refuse to take the vaccines that they're going to be court-martialed, you know, that should put up a really big red flag in their minds. What's going on here? You know, basically they're telling the military, you will be experimental lab rats, or we will put you in the clink.
Yeah. It's my understanding that the Council of Europe is investigating the World Health Organization's conflicts of interest and the panel that they utilize to advise them on the so-called swine flu. Many of the members of this panel were had financial interests in the vaccine manufacturers.
Right. Well, I would suspect this is going to be another dog and pony show, just like the hearing that I mentioned that was on C-SPAN on August 3rd in regards to autism and environmental health research. Vaccines were never mentioned. Never mentioned. They talk about mercury, maybe it's the flame retardants. Of course, the parents' genetics are always mentioned. Vaccines never come up. So, you see, this is the thing that happens. Once enough public pressure and eyes are focused on certain things, and the word does get out there because there's lots of people like us trying to wake up these sleeping sheep, that apparently, you know, just don't want to face reality in terms of how evil this corrupt cabal is that's controlling the world, they'll pretend to have hearings. We'll see where it goes.
You know, people who doubt the existence of ongoing eugenics campaigns, all you have to do is ask yourself, do you think there's too many people in the world? And most people would probably say yes. Personally, I don't think we know the answer to that question because we have such a pathologically destructive economy. But in any case, if you do believe there are too many people in the world, you know, the next logical question is, you know, I mean, most people don't pursue that train of thought any further. They just don't want to think about it. But in fact, there are people in this world who are, you know, highly trained professionals who are well paid to actually consider, you know, if this is a problem, what are we going to do about it? And what kind of solutions do you think they might come up with? You know, sterilization, disease. I mean, I can point to the World Health Organization being involved in the spreading of AIDS in Africa through the deliberate use of dirty hypodermic needles, you know, in vaccination campaigns. You know, once in a while, you'll see an elite researcher talking about the need to wipe out 80% of the world population. And there are, in fact, a number of ongoing eugenics campaigns, mostly targeting the Third World. But I think vaccines certainly should raise a red flag with people who are aware of the kind of people who actually run this country behind the scenes.
Well, if people put Georgia Guidestones, Georgia is in the state, into any search engine, you'll see videos of these monuments in Elbertson, Georgia, constructed by the Illuminati. The very first target or goal that's printed in stone on those monuments is that they want to decrease the population of the world to 500 million. Now, what people have to realize is that, in actuality, the world's population is not that it's not that it's too big. It's that all of the technology, the green type of technology. For example, Nikola Tesla, over 100 years ago, developed a way to provide electrical energy to the entire country for free. And J.P. Morgan and the other banksters put him out of business, and eventually he was killed as well. So all of these natural solutions are being suppressed. There's ways to clean up the ocean. There's all kinds of things that are already available, but the people that run the world will not make money off it. And the other thing I will say is, who gives these people the right to play, you know, God, that they will decide who needs to be killed off? I would say if they got killed off, then we could bring all these technologies out into the open. People could live much cheaper, and we wouldn't have the disease we have now because AIDS was made in the laboratory as well. Yeah, so they're making all of these horrific things and then loosing them onto the public because they believe that they have the right to do so for some strange reason.
Yeah,
I'm sure not having a conscience has something to do with it.
Mm-hmm. They stand Darwin on his head, you know. If these people succeed, humanity will definitely take a step backwards in its evolution. There's no doubt about that.
I was conversing with a psychologist today who I was asking him about his research that determined that 5% of the population is violence prone and warmongering. And I asked him, I said, are they all psychopaths? And he said, no, they're not. They are only people who the psychopaths have trained. There are less than 1% of people on the planet who truly are conscienceless, and those are the psychopaths. So there's a very, very, very small minority of people who actually run this whole show, and they are the ones that, like Dr. Carley said, if you could just isolate them, then the rest of the billions of the people on the planet would be just fine without them. And I'm sure that we could figure out some wonderful ways to live on planet Earth that would be very healthy for everyone. So,
as a matter
of
fact, let me just mention
minority.
Two things quickly along that line. Very important book that you can get from thinktwice.com. ThinkTwice is one word. Best source of vaccine books that I know of. Dr. Harris Coulter wrote a book, Vaccination, Social Violence, and Criminality. Unbelievable documentation about how vaccines also cause violence and criminality based on demyelination of the parts of the brain that, you know, cause violence. That's first of all. Second of all, there's a very important movie, Jacob's Ladder, which is a true account of how back in Vietnam they experimented on soldiers. They gave them LSD derivatives, trying to make them into killers. The only problem was they ended up killing each other instead of killing the quote-unquote enemy. And
wow,
these are things that are going on. That's what people have to realize.
Could you repeat the name of that book, Dr. Carley?
Yes. Vaccinations, Social Violence, and Criminality from thinktwice.com. Dr. Coulter also talks about autism in that book, and I found that book about 5 years ago. You know, years after I had written my papers, and that was validation to me that somebody else had figured out what I'd figured out. But he also discusses how the vaccines are making the children violent. Now, of course, it's not just the vaccines. It's the psychiatric drugs that are causing suicide and homicide ideations. It's the video games that are teaching them to kill everything that moves. The circumcisions, when I read Rich's paper about circumcisions, the trauma that happens to these children who are going through this, and I want to have both of you on my show discussing this. I did circumcisions when I was a surgeon, and I just got like a sick feeling as I was reading his description of the circumcisions, and I can document what's done during the actual procedure that makes the trauma worse. Of course, at the time, I didn't realize that. But these traumas are embedded in cells. You have cellular memory. And all of these things carry forward to create people.